You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Basically, and I'll just kind of paraphrase what he said. We asked him yesterday. He came by. He was doing the text. Real quick, did you guys do luncheons at with the Raiders? Like little kickoff luncheon type deals?
Like we did yesterday with all the season ticket holders, suite holders.
I think we did.
Big time. I think we did, but
a lot of the players just didn't show up to it.
Oh, really? It was
but
optional.
I think we did. Yeah, but no, it definitely wasn't mandatory. Mm-hmm. Al wasn't like that.
That's
Al
funny.
Was not like that. No.
That's
really
because they're positive. All about that here.
Exactly. That's one of the main differences. But yeah, Al was not grossly involved in that part of the team, that part of promotion and things like that.
Okay. So yesterday, J. Joe stops by. Chaz was for a little bit, and we asked him yesterday. Is it ready? Okay. We asked him yesterday. I said, you know, what are your expectations for 2018? You know, talk about he thinks the defense could be really good. He thinks, you know, on paper, this is the best it's felt since he's been here. And I asked him, what about you individually? You know, I said, you're going into your 13th season, which real quick, just from a cornerback's perspective, how insane is it the guy is going into his 13th season?
How insane is it?
Or just, I mean, when you hear that, I mean, because ultimately, what cut your career short? I mean, what was your goal to play in the NFL? How many years?
My goal was pretty much play about 10 years.
Okay.
That's pretty much my goal. But yeah, anything for a corner to play 13 years, I would say that it's not unbelievably shocking because guys still have their ability even when they're done playing.
Right.
Like, they still have the ability to play. They just may not simply want to go through the grind anymore.
Okay.
So to see a J. Joe playing for 13 years, I mean, I love to see that. I don't think that he's losing multiple steps.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what gets cornerbacks out of the league.
Oh, yeah. That's what gets a lot of guys out of the league. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, as far as J. Joe, I don't see too much slippage in his game because, like I said, he plays a lot of off-man, very instinctive, which is something that you don't lose. You don't lose your instincts.
Right.
You may lose your speed. You may lose your athleticism, but you don't lose your instincts. You don't lose your ball skills. And the way that Houston plays, J. Joe is the perfect corner, in my opinion, for the way Houston plays because the pass rush.
Yeah.
He knows how to play to his pass rush,
play
to his help, play in that, sit back there in that zone, read the quarterback, come out of his break and make plays.
We'll hear from himself. This is J. Joe yesterday.
It's always about change. You know, every year there's something new, technology-wise, something new, fitness-wise, things like that. So it's always being able to, you know, implement things into my training program in the offseason. Looking at my film and critiquing myself to the fullest and just being honest. And I think this year right here, I'm just finally, you know, healthy and got my body to a point to where I can play full 16 games the way I want to play it. And just getting back to the basic fundamentals. This will be my best year. Yeah.
2-4 still going to be locking people down on that edge or what?
This will be the best year yet. I said it here today. Mark it down.
Best year yet. Going into year 13.
I mean, LeBron basically had his best year in year 15. So it still is possible. I think that for J. Joe, to me, from what I've seen, I think that the pass rush, a lot of what the Texans
I think that's
pass
where
rush,
he gets his confidence.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that right there has been lacking over the past couple years as far as the pass rush.
Well, he has the confidence now.
In its totality of having Merciless, having Jadeveon Clowney, and a J.J. Watt, and now having Bernardrick McKinney, guys like that, having all of those guys. Because you remember, as soon as he got to Houston, 2011, went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
2012 was starter in the Pro Bowl. 2013, team went 2-14. Everything went downhill. And then it slowly started creeping back up. But even when Bill O'Brien got here, you see 9-7 winning the division.
Yeah.
9-7 not going to the playoffs.
Right.
So I think that you take a corner like a J. Joe who's instinctive, a playmaking corner, plays good off man, can also come up and fill in the run game. You put him with a good pass rush, I think you're going to see big things happen.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel good about that. Now, Aaron Colvin, who, again, we haven't seen a whole lot. What we have seen of him, he got burned for a touchdown. And, I mean, you know, and again, after hearing you talk about, you know, just how difficult it is playing that slot position. Of course, you know, again, this is a guy that said he had never given up a touchdown. This is Aaron Colvin a month or two ago when he was, brand new to the city, just asked about, you know, what do you bring to the table?
I'm an outside guy at heart, but honestly speaking, I am the best nickel in the NFL.
at the end of the day, no matter where I play, I'm going to make plays. And I don't want to sound cliche or give you guys a boring answer, but I truthfully feel like no matter where you put me, I will be a top guy in that position. No matter what year, what team, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to be a leader, get guys like Kevin Johnson to ball out. I'm a big fan of his game. Kareem, Jonathan Joseph. That's just my whole job, is just to help elevate other guys.
I wouldn't want him anything but confident at that position.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, what you want the guy to say, well, I think I'm probably the fourth best nickelback in the NFL right now.
I'll hold up my end.
Yeah, I mean, like, to play on the island, to play outside the numbers, man, you got to have nothing but confidence, because that's the only thing that's going to see you through, because you're going to have certain days where you don't play well. You're going to have certain games where it just doesn't really look good on film.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's going to see you through, that's going to see you through the critics that like to get on the players, the fans, the media, all of that. That's the only thing that's going to see you through is your confidence. Because if your confidence goes, man, everything else is going to follow. Now, as far as Aaron Colvin goes, just the player,
mm-hmm.
I think what you guys also got to remember is this. In the NFL, you have two types of corners. You have playmaking corners. Well, a lot of them play a lot of zone. They're instinctive. They go mm-hmm. after the ball.
Then that's a Marcus Peters type,
then,
right?
Yes, exactly. Then you also have man corners, where they may not get as many plays on the ball, may not have as
they
many
don't throw
interceptions.
At them.
Exactly. Chris Harris, to me, best slot corner in football.
Yeah.
But you'll never know it if you just go off of his stats, mm-hmm. which is the interception. You'll never know it. But Chris Harris, I remember 2 years ago, went almost two full seasons without even giving up a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who plays a good amount of man coverage. Now, Jacksonville, they got a lot of pass rush out there. Saxonville,
mm-hmm.
play a good amount of zone as well. Sometimes, like I said, having a linebacker drop into a curl lane, that can actually help a corner, because there are certain pass plays or certain routes on the route tree
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have to cover because the pass rush is taken care of, the five-step drop,
right.
and the zone coverage within the entire defense takes away the bang gate, takes away the curl, takes away things like that. So for certain corners and certain schemes, all he has to cover is the nine route, the out route, and maybe, just maybe, the dig a little bit.
And not for very long.
Exactly.
Because the
quarterback holds the ball longer than 3.5 seconds.
Yes.
You got Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
You got Ngakoue. I think mm-hmm. that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Then you got Fowler coming out of Florida a couple years ago.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you got so much of that pass rush. You got the zone coverage, because, like I said, you don't see as much man coverage in the NFL anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You still have some teams that do it, but you don't have a lot of teams that employ it, because they'll sit back in zone. They'll force you to go ahead, throw the ball to the flat. Everybody come up, make the tackle, because a lot of the growing sentiment is that we're going to force the offense to go the long, hard way.
Yeah.
And most offenses cannot do what Tom Brady does and just throw the ball to the back out the backfield, throw the ball to the tight end in the flat, and actually be successful doing that for 15 plays, because within those 15 plays, you're going to have a false start by somebody on the offense, a drop pass.
Yeah.
There's going to be some sort of miscommunication. Somebody's going to miss a block, give up a sack. You're going to have a holding call, something that's going to get the offense off track.
Yeah.
That way the defense can now get ahead of the sticks.
See, that's one thing I think about a guy like Deshaun Watson, because I think you're going to see more of that this year. You're going to see them utilize the tight ends more. You're going
to
see
Right? He's going to have to, because I remember in my years in Oakland, when we came to play the Houston Texans, we had a simple game plan, and that is stop 23, do not let 23 get over 100 yards,
mm-hmm.
and do not let 80 wreck the game.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And what we would do is we'd either stick Nnamdi over there on him, or if Nnamdi wasn't playing, we would roll the coverage to Andre's side,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd force the tight end, we'd force the second receiver, the third option, all those guys to beat us one-on-one man coverage.
How'd that usually work?
And
Dale Davis game here, right?
Exactly. And that's how we would play it, because
– as underdogs.
Exactly. Because the thing is that, can the quarterback make good throws? Can the receivers make good plays? Yes. But can you trust them to do that for an entire 60 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah.
And more than likely, they're not going to be able to do that, because Rex Ryan always said it best. You want to force the offense to play left-handed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which makes sense.
You want to force them to play left-handed. Anytime you go into a game and you allow a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers to give the ball to Le'Veon Bell for 30 times, throw it to Antonio Brown 10 times, and let them play with their right hand, like, as a D coordinator, you should be fired.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about this off-air. fourth preseason game tomorrow from a player standpoint. I mean, you know, for I mean, unless you're – I mean, starters, y'all ain't tripping on it.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
you're
just dreading having to go through the whole dress rehearsal of, like, go outside, get warmed up. You know you're not playing. If you're going to play, you'll play, what, maybe a series, if that. So you're just kind of like, man, like, why do we have to continue to go through this charades? You got to go ahead and put on a good face. But, yeah, as a veteran or as a starter, you're just like, man, like – F this. Can we go ahead and get on to the regular season where it really counts?
Jerry Jones says he wants an 18-game season, regular season, and two preseason games. From a player's perspective, now I think he just said this just to make people feel good.
Yeah, so
he's all
here.
It's all about the money for him.
Exactly.
But from a player's perspective, he said basically it'll be safer, not as many kids, which I think is total bull. But from a player's perspective, would you be down for that?
I will only be down for that if you're willing to up our salary, a prorated two-plus games.
Right.
You're going to have to go ahead and up our salary. That's number one. Now, number two, as far as I could see, maybe they go to 18 games, but I don't see the four preseason games.
No. Two preseason games.
I don't see.
Or one.
That right there is, I don't know Jerry Jones personally, but I can tell you, Jerry Jones, among just like a lot of the other owners, that is a lie. Because they don't want to get rid of the four preseason games because it's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the preseason.
Yeah, but if you get the extra regular season, it's more money. He said it'll be $1 billion for players.
Maybe, but it's so much for the preseason. I'm going to tell you why. Because in the preseason, you got a 90-man roster. But the veterans, I don't care if it's Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, they're only getting $1,100 week in the preseason.
Okay.
Yeah. All the veterans get $1,100. Yeah. That's it.
Your salary doesn't kick until the regular season.
Exactly.
So payroll's less during the preseason.
But guess what stays the same?
Yeah, all the revenue.
Because
it's local television.
The tickets, the merchandise, all the food and the drinks at the stands.
And you have
the
local TV contract. It's not a network. No, very few preseason games are network TV.
Yeah.
That's why you have Channel 13 broadcast, because it's a network contract.
But,
a local network.
But if I'm the owner and I own, let's say, Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah.
I get all the revenue from that. And guess what? I really pretty much am only paying about $120,000, $130,000 for salaries that week.
Yeah.
Rather than the usual whatever allotment
millions.
It is for the salaries for that team. So that's why you're never going to see those four preseason games get decreased. You're not going to see that. And
see, I think you will, because they're going to get that. They're going to get money back on that regular season game.
They will, but I don't think to the level of what they're going to be able to get. Yeah, because think about it. If I'm only spending $130,000 in salaries per week, but I still get all the revenue from the ticket prices are pretty much still the same.
Well,
in the
they pre-season. Are the same.
Yeah. Exactly. The drinks, the hot dogs, all of that, the merchandise, the price is still the same. So I get to eat all of that revenue, and guess what? I don't got as high of expenses as far as in the regular season. That's why you're going to see most owners do not want to go to two preseason games.
All right, hold that thought. Stanford Rat, he's on fire today. Don't you go anywhere. We'll wrap up a few more things with him. We'll take a trip in the locker room. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. Stanford Rat in studio. This is In the Loop on a Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.